But I wanted to share a few moments this morning. You know, it's just kind of expanding in me this theme that I've been sharing on for the last month or so in New York and here on these words that I heard in my heart. And the more you know, you meditate on something or you think about it, it expands in you. And so I heard these words, I don't know, it was back in May, I guess, best in class. I just heard that down here, best in class. And I was waking, you know, I was coming, waking up, I know it was 5 or something in the morning, and I just heard it very softly. And, you know, for me, I immediately began to think, well, we're made in the image and likeness of God, and God is a spirit, John 4:24. So if God is a spirit and I'm made in the image and likeness of him, then that makes me a spirit. The real me is a spirit. And I have a soul and I live in a body. And when you look at that word, best in class, I looked it up. You know, they have different acronyms out on the internet, you know, BIC, you know, the companies use it. But it means the best of its kind. So when companies say best in class, it means it's unparalleled, it's unmatched. There's nothing that compares to it. It's the best. And God made us like him. There's nothing greater. There's nothing higher other than him. And he made us like him. And we need to have our thoughts along those lines and go through life that I'm made like him. And I'm to operate like him. Jesus came to this earth, and he came, you see it in the book of Romans in chapter 8, I think it's verse 3, 4, 5, somewhere around there. It says that he came in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. So he came, yes, God in flesh, but he, if you look in the book of Philippians, it said he set aside his divine privileges. So he didn't operate as God, even though he was. And then when you go and you look at Acts 10:38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Well, if he was God and operated as God, why would he need to be anointed by God and to go around and do the things that he was just free to do? No, he set aside those divine privileges and he came to redeem man. And so he had to operate as a man in God in flesh, reconciling the world. So he operated and he showed us how we could operate as a man anointed by the Holy Ghost in this earth. So it always, you know, that's why when you say best in class, we're made like him to operate like Jesus did in the earth. That's how we're to operate. So, you know, when you look at Jesus's life, yeah, I mean, he had the spirit without measure. We all understand that, but we have the spirit. We've been given a measure of the Holy Ghost. And so we can operate in this earth anointed by God and get similar results. So we're best in class. And so there's nothing that can surpass mankind. God has made us to have authority here in the earth. And here's when you look at, and we looked at this in another lesson prior to this, when you look at John 10, in the Gospel of John, and you look at, it talks about the sheepfold, and if some, and it says, and if the, let's go over there. We'll just look at that real quick, so you kind of get an idea of what Jesus was saying when he shared this in John 10. I'll read this from the New Living Translation. John 10:1, it says, I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. Well, in that same chapter, if you go down to verse 10, Jesus continued that and said, the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I come to give you life and have it more abundantly. So he's talking about anyone who doesn't go through the gate is a thief and a robber. Well, we know Satan was not born into this earth. He was kicked out of heaven and fell into this earth. He didn't come through natural childbirth. And so Jesus had to be born of a woman divinely or supernaturally, because if he had been born of a woman, then the sin would have passed down from that woman to him, and then he couldn't have stood in our place to be a sacrifice for sin. So he had to come through and be born of a woman to be legally, to legally stand in our stead. But then when you read verse 2, it says, but the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. So now this switches, and now the first verse was talking about something natural being born into the earth, but now the second verse is talking about something spiritual, and it says, but the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. And if you jump down to verse 7 in the New Living Translation, it says, so he explained it unto them, verse 6, it says, those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. So in order to have legal standing in the earth, you had to come into this earth through a woman. But in order to have right standing with God, you had to go through the gate of Jesus. He's the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So I just share that we're a spirit and we're made in the image and likeness of God. And one of the things that I just was pondering on this morning was this scripture verse in John. Let me just get over here. And I wanted to look at for a few moments Hebrews 11:1, and then jump down here a few other verses. And Hebrews 11:1, and maybe they can put this up on the screen in the Passion Translation. Hebrews 11:1, and then verse 3. Because I think this really is a powerful statement. It says, now faith brings our hopes into reality. So that means that faith, and the King James says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith brings, this says, faith brings our hopes or our expectations into reality. So what are we saying? Faith brings that which is real, but it exists over in the spiritual realm. Faith brings that from the spiritual realm over into reality, into this, or you could say this natural realm. Faith brings that which God has for us that he's promised, and we can bring that over into this natural realm through what? Through faith. And it says, and becomes the foundation. What's the foundation? Faith is. Faith is the foundation needed to acquire the things we hope for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. And then verse 3, in this Passion Translation, it says, faith empowers us to see that the universe was created and beautifully coordinated by the power of God's words. He spoke, and the invisible realm gave birth to all that is seen. So God made us in his image and likeness, and he spoke, right? So what we speak in faith is spiritual. God spoke, if you look in Hebrews 11:3, what it says, faith empowers us to see, but Hebrews, in the King James, Hebrews 1:3, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So that means if I am made in his image and likeness, then what I believe has to be spoken. I must speak what I believe. And you know, if you're around people long enough, they'll tell you what they believe by what they speak. It'll come out of their mouth. They'll talk about it. Their frustrations, their highs, their lows, whatever things that they've meditated upon, they'll tell you. You just spend time around people. And the things that you keep talking about, then, you know, you need to watch what you say. Because if you keep saying it and you believe it, it'll come to pass. It'll keep working. It'll come to pass. Why do I say that? Because we're made best in class. We're made like God, and the words that we speak are spiritual. They're containers, you could say, of faith. You can't, Jesus said this. He said, you can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of the wind. And when Jesus healed the lame man, not the lame man, the man that was in the bed, his four friends carried him up on the roof. He said, he saw their faith. Well, how do you see faith? Well, you can't see faith, but you can see the action of faith. So you can't see the wind, but you can see the results of the wind. People say, oh, it's windy out. Really? You see the wind? No, you see the leaves moving. So it's the same thing with faith. You say you have faith and you're not doing anything. I say to you, your faith is not working. You say you have faith, but unless there's a corresponding action to your words and a corresponding action to what you say you believe, you're not in faith. You're just believing. Because he said, faith without works is what? Dead. So there has to be an action to something that I say I believe. If I say I believe something, then I'm going to see some action in you that tells me that you believe what you say. Because you see it all the time. People that meditate on things long enough, they'll say, I'm going to say something to that person. Now, you meditate on that long enough and you can see their action, can't you? You can see it, whether it's joy or hatred. If they've meditated on it long enough and they've told you, you know, I'm going to say something. Now, maybe they will, maybe they won't. But a person that does, there's some action to what they said, right? And so this is what's going on even in society. People are meditating on things, and now they're doing what? They're acting on it. And you're starting to see the fruit of what people have been meditating on, and they're acting out. So it's gone from just, I'm meditating on it, and I'm getting upset, or I'm getting joyful, and now people are acting on it. That's why we're seeing rage, anger, because people have been fed stuff, and they keep looking at it, they keep thinking about it. And I'm not saying some of it's not true. They may be having some bad things going on in their life, but the more they keep thinking about it, the more they keep meditating about it, they start acting on it. And those things that you think about, meditate on, and you begin to do what? It gets down in your heart. It gets down where? In your spirit. And you start speaking it, and it begins to bear fruit. That's what Proverbs 18 says. Verse 20, death and life is in the what? The power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. What does that mean? That means the things that you keep talking about, at some point, you're gonna bear some fruit. You're going to act on it, and you're going to start, you know, seeing the results of that. But Proverbs 4:23, this is the New Living Translation. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. Well, when the scripture says guard your heart, it means guard your spirit. That's the real you. Your heart is not your blood pump. The heart is your spirit. So God is a spirit. We are a spirit. We're made in the image and likeness of God. And so that means we need to guard our heart or guard our spirit, what we plant in it, what we sow into our hearts, what we listen to, what we read, what we feed on. Because eventually what you sow, you'll reap. You'll reap that. And so I wanted to take a moment here again, Joshua 1:8. I'm getting to a point I'm going to make here. Joshua 1:8, and if they have the Amplified Classic available, otherwise we'll just put it up in the King James. But if you have the Amplified Classic, it would be helpful. I think this reads a little better. Joshua 1:8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall do what? Meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then, say for then. So what does that mean? That means if I do something over here, then something is going to be the result of that. What does that mean? That means it's conditional, isn't it? If I don't do this, then I don't get this. So this says here, what? Let's go back and read it. It says, for this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. What shouldn't depart out of your mouth? God's word. Not complaining, not, oh, woe is me, or even hallelujah. I mean, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. But you shall do what? Meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do what? To do according that is written therein. Let me read this. This word, sometimes words that were used, let me just read this in the, read the what the meaning of that word means, Joshua 1:8. When this word meditate, when it says, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, this word meditate, let me just read this. This is the definition in English of what it means in Hebrew. This says here, it says to murmur. That's it says this is a root meaning, means to murmur in pleasure or anger. It says, by implication, to ponder, imagine, meditate, mutter, speak, study, talk, utter. So that means you should be thinking about it. When it says meditate, it means just ponder it. Meditate on it. Talk. You know, we see people, you know, you walk around the street, people got an eye, you know, have got an earbud in, and they're talking. And you're going, who are they talking to? They're talking to somebody on the phone. But that's what I'm talking about. You talking about the scripture and you're muttering it or you're saying it. I mean, this is, when you think about it, and you look at all of the people that are motivational speakers, what do they get you to do? Say what you want. Say what you believe. They want you to mutter it and ponder it. I'm a success. I see myself a success. Well, that's all the scripture's saying here. Don't let this book of the law depart out of your mouth. That's what Jesus was saying. Speak who you are in Christ. Talk what God says you are. I'm best in class. I'm made like him. I've got the greater one living in me. God dwells in me. He's given me wisdom. I have the mind of Christ. Now, your feelings and your mind might be saying something else, but it's not my mind or my soul that's going to change things. It didn't say guard your soul. It said guard your heart. So the things that you meditate on will get down into your heart. And those things that get down into your heart, when they come out of your mouth, that's what has an impact. That's what will change things. And so this, if we continue reading this, it says that you may observe and do according to all that is written therein. For then, this is conditional, you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. Everybody wants that. We all do. If you did a show of hands, you'd say, how many here want to deal wisely and have good success? If I didn't see anybody raise their hand, I'd say, like, what's wrong with you? Everybody wants to deal wisely and have good success. And here, God spoke to Joshua and told him how. So if God didn't want us to have good success and deal wisely, then why did he tell Joshua? Because then he would have been he would have been singling him out. So God wants us. So the spirit of man, I'm going back here now to the spirit. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. It's where God communicates with us. He communicates with us in our heart, in our spirit. So how many would say that your spirit, we saw that in Proverbs 4:23, guards your heart. And if you go back, let me jump back and look at that. I'll read another one. This is the complete Jewish Bible, Proverbs 4:23. It says, above everything else, guard your heart, for it is the source of life's consequences. So what does that mean? That means when you read Proverbs 4, let me go over there and read this here. Proverbs 4 and read it from the King James. It says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. That's exactly what Joshua 1:8 is saying. It says, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all thy flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, if you look up that word issues in the Hebrew, it means boundaries. So the boundaries that get set in our life, see, this is how the devil destroys people. He uses people to come against people. And then people, you have tension, you have hurts. And people get hurt by other people because the devil uses them. And then people get angry at other people and they start speaking words and it sets boundaries. What does that mean? If you say you can't do it, you won't do it. You set a boundary. How many people have grown up in bad situations and you see some make it and some don't? And the ones that make it say, I didn't let that issue define me. And you hear them talk differently than people that have embraced the negative. Didn't mean that the negative didn't exist, but they embraced it, took it, and began to speak it, and it did what? It put them in a boundary. And so that goes on. That's a spiritual law or principle. And God has made us like him so that when we speak, we change things. We can change our circumstances by speaking. Because he made us to be like him, or you could say he made us to be a speaking spirit. So God has made us to overcome. So God will enlighten us and he will guide us. How? Through our spirit. It's the candle of the Lord. So just the same way that you educate, your spirit needs to be developed. This is really where I'm going with this. That your spirit man needs to be developed. Just the same way you develop your mind and you educate your mind, you didn't start in first grade and then graduate from high school. There was a process. You had to go through school. You had to learn things. You had to be trained. You had to be developed mentally. And the same thing happens with your spirit. You need to guard your spirit man, and you need to educate it. You need to develop it. You need to do what? Let not this word of the law depart out of your mouth. You need to educate, develop, nourish my spirit man, just like you developed your mentality. So that God will do what? Enlighten you. And you will begin to think like him. And you'll begin to see what to do in every circumstance. That takes time. You didn't see what to do as a first grader. But the more you learn, the more you were educated, the more you grew up, you go, oh, I know what to do. Because you did what? You educated your soul. And the same thing, your spirit has a connection with God. He will enlighten your spirit and it will illuminate your soul. You'll go, I see what to do. And everybody else is walking in the dark. They don't know what to do, but you can see it. Just as clear as you're looking right here, you go, why don't they see that? Because they haven't meditated on the word of God. They haven't muttered it. They haven't pondered it. And God will enlighten us. He'll show you what to do in life. He'll show you who to marry. He'll show you where to go to school. He'll show you who to be friends with. He'll show you how to invest your money. He'll show you where to live. He'll show you what house to buy. He'll show you, and you'll know, just like he knows. Because God, if you look at, let's jump over to Ephesians. Just for a moment, jump over to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians 2 If I can get there, it'll be all right. Ephesians chapter 2. Let me read this. I think I'll read this. It's either going to be in the New Living Yeah, we'll read it in the New Living, and then we'll read it in the Passion Translation. This is the New Living Translation, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, "For we are God's masterpiece." Wouldn't you call that best in class? I'm his masterpiece. And it says, "He has created us anew," or it means if you're in Christ, you're brand new, you're a new creature in Christ. It says, "He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." So that means God's got some good things planned for us. And if we seek him and meditate in the word, he'll show you. You'll just see it. You'll know. You'll go, "I'm supposed to do this." And you see people picking and trying this and trying this, and they spend their whole life, and then a lot of people just get frustrated with life, right? Isn't that true? I mean, even Minister Joe says, you know, he knows people that they went off, and I said, "Man, I don't want to go to that." He said, "This person he knew in Ghana, he said his father wanted him to be a doctor. The daughter became a doctor and liked it, but the son became a doctor, but he didn't really want to be a doctor. He really wanted to be an accountant." Well, that was his heart leading him. But he did what his father wanted to do. He became a doctor, but he didn't really want to do it. His heart wasn't in it. I thought, I don't want to go to him. His heart's not in it. And I'm sure there's a lot of people like that that are in life. They're doing stuff. They're going through the motions. They're just doing stuff, but their heart's not in it. But they can know. That's what this is saying. God has created something for us to do. And if we would just meditate in the word, Brother Hagin used to talk about this. He said, when I first became born again, I didn't do that. And he said, it cost me financially. He said, because I was just doing stuff and it cost me. And he said, so I just started to take and meditate in the word 5 minutes a day, just ponder a scripture. And he said, I did that for a period of time. And he said, man, I've been coming up ever since, knowing what to do. He tells a story back, you know, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, of a young man. He was 18 or 19, and he started to listen to Brother Hagin and meditating in the Word of God. And this young man began to, and this was back in, you know, 40 years ago in Tulsa, where it was mainly farm country. Now it's busy. Shops, malls, everything, right? And he said, this young man began to meditate in the Word of God, and God began to lead him, and he began to, as God led him, he began to buy property. And he said, over time, this young boy became a multi-millionaire. He didn't have one private jet, he had multiples. And he said that God led him to buy, and he said, when he would get a leading, he just wouldn't go do it. He'd get quiet. He said he'd just get quiet for a day or so before he just knew, this is what I'm supposed to do. And he would buy what apparently was just farmland. And he said not long after, the interstates started coming through and they wanted to buy it for a lots of money, honey. So God led this young man, and then he said, then you know, people wanted to have him buy stuff, and he said, well, I'll get back to you. And he would get quiet to know what to do. And so we can do the same thing in life. Our spirit is, God lives in our spirit. The Holy Ghost does. And if we'll get quiet, that's what the scripture says, isn't it? Says, if we will not let this book of the law depart out of our mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you and observe to do according to all that is written therein, Then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. So what are we saying? The spirit of man needs to be developed, and it can be a safer God. When you develop something, it can be a safe God. But if it's not developed, you're not sure. That's what a lot of people are asking, what should I do? Well, if you developed your spirit, you'll know what to do. You'll know. You'll know exactly what to do. So again, you need to educate, train, and develop your spirit to the point where the inner witness becomes more and more real to you. That inner knowing, that inner witness. And that takes time. You know, a lot of people, you see, we just saw the Olympics and all of that. How did those people get to that place of greatness? It took a lot of training. A lot of training. They didn't get there overnight. And so it's the same thing. We can get to a place of being so developed, you'll know. You'll know what to do. You'll come up to something, you go, no, I don't do that, I'm going to do this. This is, you just know. That's the right way. And it's not your intellect. You just know. It's like people who say, well, how do you know you're supposed to marry that person? I just know. That wasn't your brain, it's your heart. Or somebody says, I know I'm supposed to go to that school or have that job. How'd you know? I just knew. Well, that wasn't your intellect. It was your spirit. And we can know like that, but we have to meditate in the Word of God. And people aren't teaching this. Some are. So 2 Corinthians 4:13. Josh, I don't know if you have the Bible in Basic English. You might have the Basic translation, but it's actually the BBE. Yeah, you have it. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. I think this says it the best. The King James says, we having the spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. And says, we also believe and therefore speak. But look at how this reads in the BBE, the Bible in Basic English. This says, but having the same spirit of faith, as it is said in the writings, the words of my mouth came from the faith in my heart. Whew. Boy, if that's as plain as you can get it, that's basic, isn't it? The words of my mouth came from the faith in my heart. In the same way, our words are the outcome of our faith. Our words are the outcome of our faith. What does that mean? That's something you've meditated on, pondered on, thought about. You know, the world uses this term, marketing. They keep flooding you. You keep looking at it, pondering it, thinking about it, talking about it, and then you go, I got to get me one. I got to eat that. I got to buy that. I got to drive in that. Because they've marketed you to the point where you didn't let it depart from your eyes. And you thought about it. It's a spiritual principle. And God has made us to do what? Meditate in the Word of God, ponder it, mutter it, and we'll know what to do. We'll have good success. And I won't be played on by the world. Because they're going to want you to buy something. I'm not going here to say that's wrong. God may lead you to say, yeah, that's you buy that. Invest in that. Do that. But it's going to be God directing and not some fleshly impulse. Because my spirit will know. Needs to be educated. Needs to be trained. And what happens is we spend millions and millions and millions of dollars a year to train our bodies to get in shape. Man, we don't like that. And then we spend millions and millions and millions of dollars to educate our minds. But our spirits are shriveled up and they're not being trained and educated. So we're spending time educating and developing our bodies, we're developing our minds, and then you got the world, they don't even know they're a spirit. And then the church, they're doing stuff like the world, and they're not educating their spirit. They're not training their spirit. And if you took time every day, just 5 minutes, start 5 minutes, meditate in the word. Take 10 minutes. Add to it, you'll start developing your spirit, and over years of time, you'll just know what to do. You'll look at something and go, yeah, I know what to do. You go, oh, how'd you know that? I just know. You'll begin to operate with what? The mind of Christ. You just know. Because you've meditated on the Word of God and pondered it. Yeah. So I like what Mark Hankins says. It's the spirit of faith. When we're talking about the words are the result of what my faith is or faith in my heart, he said the spirit of faith will get the wine or the defeat out of your voice. And that's what we need. We need to get the defeat and the wine out of our voice and begin to talk the word of God and meditate on it. I mean, that's all motivational speakers do. They get you to get in a big meeting, get you all excited, and say what you believe. Imagine yourself a success. That's what God is telling us to do. That's what he's telling us to do, right? We're a spirit. So real faith, genuine faith, speaks what it believes. Speaks what it believes. In order to make a true faith confession, it must be from a persuaded heart. How do you get a persuaded heart? Meditating in the Word of God. And that's exactly, maybe you can put up, Josh, you can put up Hebrews 10:23 in the New Living Translation. It says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. So there's a process in this development where we're made in the image and likeness of God. We're made like him. The Psalm 8 says we're made just a little lower than Elohim. I think the King James says a little lower than the angels, but the more accurate is if you look at, I think the New Living, it says Elohim, which is we're made just a little lower than God. We're made like him. And he's made us to speak and to call things into existence. I mean, let's close with this thought. Go over to Mark 11, 11:22. We can put that up in the King James. Mark 11, 22, 23. And this is Jesus. He had cursed the fig tree the day before. It says, in the morning as they passed by, they're all together, they saw the fig tree dried up from the root. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus, verse 22, and Jesus answering, saith unto them, have faith in God. And then what did he say? Verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever, so now he's saying they could do exactly what he just did. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So one of the revelations that God gave Brother Hagin when he said, I was just laying on the floor pondering some scriptures, getting ready for a service, and I was just laying on the floor, had my hands behind my head, just meditate, pondering on the scriptures, he said, when the Holy Spirit said to him, have you ever noticed that in Mark 11, 23, the word believe is only in there once, but the word say, or some form of say, is in there three times? And he said, he sat up off the floor and said, no, I never saw that. And then the Lord, the Holy Spirit, said to him, you're going to have to teach three times as much on the saying part than the believing part. Because he said, the church has been taught to believe, but they're not saying what they believe. Sometimes they're saying contrary to what they believe. So he said, you're going to have to teach more on the saying part than the believing part. He said, the church has been taught to believe, but the saying part has not been. So that was a revelation to him. He said, I never saw that. So our spirits need to be developed. They need to be educated. They need to be strengthened. Because life, going through life, you're going to need a strong spirit. And you're going to need a spirit that can know what to do and to stand against the issues in life. So I hope that helps. I mean, the Lord has been prompting me and nudging me and saying, you're not talking enough. You're not speaking enough what you believe. Because a lot of times we can go quiet, you know what I mean? You can go quiet. You can say, yeah, I'm believing. You're mentally thinking about it. I'm going to do that. But are you saying it? Are you speaking? You speak the words that you speak. That's what we just got done reading. 2 Corinthians 4:13 in the BBE. The words that we speak are the results of the faith in your heart. So you need to speak what you believe. And you just say, I'm going to do that. And your mind all the time might be going, that's crazy. You're never going to do that. You know, you can't. How are you going to do that? I'm going to do it, and we're going to have it, and we're going to build it, and we're going to own it, and we're going to do it. That is what God is looking for in the body of Christ. Because what happens is there's opposition, and then the church backs up and goes, well, maybe God doesn't want us to do that. Really? God doesn't want you to expand the kingdom of God? And so the church goes quiet instead of like Paul saying, we're going to do this. And you push through, you take hold of something that you believe, whatever that is. God wants the church to be more vocal in the sense of speaking the word of God, speaking those things. You're a spirit made in his image and likeness. I know I said I was closing. Go over here to Genesis. Look what this is here. I promise we'll close with this. Because sometimes this gets me excited. Actually, I'm going to say there's two scriptures I want to close with. But Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 27 and 28, and the New Living Translation. It said, "Then God said, 'Let us make human beings in our image to be like us.'" This is the New Living Translation. It says, "They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God created, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it, reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." Let me just see. Yeah. Put up verse 26 in the King James. Genesis 1, verse 26 in the King James. It says, "And God said, 'Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.'" God has put man, if you look at something, just take a moment here. Let me look. Just looking at this scripture here. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 45, and I believe let me see, put this up in the let's put this up in the Passion Translation. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45, 46, 47, 48, 49. 1 Corinthians 15 says, "For it is written, 'The first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became the life-giving spirit.' However, the spiritual didn't come first. The natural precedes the spiritual. The first man was from the dust of the earth. The second man, or the last Adam, the second man is the Lord Jehovah from the realm of heaven. The first one, made from the dust, has a race of people just like him, who are also made from the dust." But now look what this says. "The one sent from heaven has a race of heavenly people who are just like him." Whew, man, that's what I want to meditate on. We're made just like him. And then what does it say? "Once we carried the likeness of the man of the dust, but now let us carry the likeness of the man of heaven." We're to walk like him. We're to speak like him. We're to think like him, not like the world. And when we meditate in the Word of God and we dwell on it and we operate it and do it, we'll have good success. We're a spirit. Now, here's the scripture, one scripture here I wanted to, Job, and let me see what translation we have here. Yeah, the Amplified Classic, Job 22, verse 28. Job 22, verse 28. And I'll put this up on the screen if you don't have it. It says, "You shall also decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you, and the light of God's favor shall shine upon your ways." In the King James, it says, "Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee." This is the Common English Bible. They don't have that, but I'll read it. The Common English Bible, it says, "If you decree something, it will stand. Light will shine on your ways." If you decree something, what do we mean by that? If you decree something in faith from your heart, it will stand. It'll produce. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." We're a spirit made in the image and likeness of God, and God wants us to decree some things in your life, in your families, on your jobs, wherever. You start decreeing some things. You may get some opposition, because the devil doesn't, he's going to put up some stuff to frustrate you and say, because he does not want the church decreeing some things. So he wants you to go, get quiet. Because what you decree will establish something. And he knows that. So he wants to get you frustrated and be quiet. And when you're quiet, nothing happens. Because you're made in the image and likeness of God. What you believe, you got to speak. And it will establish something. You see it in life. People that have said negative things. People. Brother Hagin used this story. He said a family wanted to have him come and pray over this young man. And he was on his deathbed. And Brother Hagin operated in the gifts of the Spirit. He knelt down by this man, a young boy, he's 40. And he said the Lord told him, "Don't pray for him." Anyone. So he didn't, and the young boy passed. And this is what the Lord spoke to him. He didn't understand it, Brother Hagin. And the woman, or a mother or aunt or whatever, came and said, "This young boy, from as long as we've known, said, 'I'm not going to live past 40. And they went, "Why? You're young." And he kept saying, "I'm not going to live past 40. He'd say it to people. And Brother Hagin said, the Holy Spirit said to him, "That boy put spiritual laws in motion, and only he can change them." So we can put spiritual laws into motion by what we speak. How many know Michael Jackson did the same thing? It wasn't widely published, but Priscilla Presley said after she was married, after she passed, he'd sit along across the table and say, "I'm not going to live past this age." He put some spiritual laws in motion. And so we need to be observant and conscious of that unknowingly, you can put some spiritual laws in motion that work against you or for you. And that's all Joshua 1:8 is saying. You're a spirit, and God has made you in his image and likeness, and you need to speak those things that are in your heart, and remember that what you decree, you're going to establish it over time. So, I remember this. I didn't know these principles. This was, I'm trying to remember if it was before I was saved. Yeah, it was before I was saved. And I made this statement. I don't know why I said it. I said, I'm going to run this car until it falls apart. You know how some of us think, oh, we're wise. I'm going to run this car. And it did. I was driving it, and the front wheel fell off. So I said, I'm being transparent. I'm just saying there are things that we can do unwittingly and not know that what we're doing, whether you know Christ or not, you're a spirit. And the things that you decree will be established. And so now we know more. We're being enlightened. We ought to watch what we say. And we need to, at most, we ought to say, I'm a success. I'm going to be a success. I'm going to have this. If God has put it in your heart to own a business, I'm going to do that. You may fail 5 times, but I'm going to do that. I'm going to have that. I'm going to own that. God said, I have come to give you life and have it more abundantly. So stop talking negative. Stop talking like, well, God doesn't want me to have that. That's foolishness. That's foolishness. And the world, the devil, 2 Corinthians 4, he says, 4:4, the God of this world has blinded the minds of those that are lost, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in. He doesn't want people to know that God loves them. And he wants them to prosper. People are being used by the devil to hurt people. And God loves people. So whenever you see people hurting people and all of this junk, it's from the devil. And he doesn't want people to succeed. He wants people to be repressed and fight people and bicker and all of this stuff. And God wants us to be a light in this earth, so that they can see the goodness of God in our lives. But we're going to have to speak it, believe it, so that it manifests in our life. And people go, I want that. What is it you're doing? I'm just serving God. God's good to me. Well, I want to follow that. I want that. But they've got to see the goodness of God in our lives. And we're going to have to do what? Take it. Take hold of it. Take it. Right? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Amen. Kick the devil out of your life. Tell him to get riddance. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's precious to us. And we thank you that you love us, and we're so grateful for that, Father. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Thank you that you're merciful to us, even when we don't know what we're doing and we're making mistakes. You're still merciful to us. You still love us. But, Father, we thank you that now that we know we're being enlightened, then we have more responsibility to walk in it, operate in it. And, Father, we commit to walk in the blessings of God and speak from our heart those things that we believe and meditate in the Word of God. And we thank you that we are a success and we have good success in life. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen.